Customs and Border Protection had a problem, how to heighten security while grappling with rising international travel. And if you traveled abroad prior to 2008, you probably remember how long the long wait times and seemingly overwhelmed customs officers. Well, in stepped John Wagner, the Deputy Assistant Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection. He helped streamline the process and was named one of this year's 33 Service to America Medals finalists. He told me more about his work.
We managed to build a couple of self-service kiosks, global entry and automated passport control for travelers returning to the United States from abroad, and allow them in a self-service fashion to clear through either all a part of the Customs and Border Protection processing requirements. But there was a lot of work we had to do, a lot of IT work, a lot of work with the stakeholders to get it done, but had a lot of support to get it done and make it successful.
Now, these things always are simple to state. You put your passport or your fingerprint or both maybe on a kiosk and away you go. But tell us what's behind the scenes to make that really happen.
Well, you have to build a database to process and store the information. You have to build the application process to set the policies on who qualifies, how they qualify, what type of membership benefits you would provide, or what type of requirements would go along with the program. You have to have these systems funded. You have to have them built. And then you have to advertise them. You have to get people to be aware of them, design them in a way that they're easy to use and people are able to understand about them and to know that they're there and know how to use them. And then internally, training our employees about the new procedures, the new requirements, the new policies, and to get their buy-in and their support as well into making these programs a success.
All right, for the uninitiated, people land and they expect a big long line to get the heck out of the airport, or at least to get to the point where they can get their luggage or whatever. There's lots of lines. Tell us what people encounter that are using these systems and what they have to do to be able to avail themselves of those systems.
So with Global Entry, you go to the website, you apply, you pay a fee, you go through a background check and an interview. When you come off the plane, you go right to the kiosk. It will read your passport, read your fingerprints, you do your customs declaration right on the touchscreen, print out a receipt, and you hand that in as you exit the airport area. With automated passport control, there's no enrollment. What you do is come off the plane, again, go right to a kiosk, it reads your passport, you answer your customs declaration questions right on the screen. It also prints out a receipt, but in this case, you stop and you see an officer for an interview with that Customs and Border Protection officer before you're allowed to depart the facility.
And so it sounds like there is some interagency work that was required here also, because all of the information, the passports and so forth, don't reside entirely within CBP.
Correct. So we coordinate with a lot of different federal partners, probably TSA being the biggest one. So if you're enrolled in Global Entry, you automatically get the TSA pre-check benefits for the expedited security screening as well. But there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work we do, coordination with other government agencies as well, along with the airport authorities and the airline, equal partners in a lot of these programs as well.
And there is a lot, as you say, a lot of moving parts to this, both in the process of getting it done and in operating it. And what does it take in terms of personal fortitude to shepherd a system like this over many years? I mean, it's been about 7 or 8 years you've been working on this. To keep it in mind and get it across the finish line.
Oh, correct. You have to be somewhat driven. You have to be unflappable. It can be seen as frustrating sometimes working through a big bureaucracy, but you just have to be driven and get your stakeholder support and your employee buy-in. And, you know, having good superiors and managers and leaders above you to guide you through a lot of that process. I've been fortunate to work for some very good leaders in this organization that keep you driven and keep you motivated, but a lot of it also you just have to keep at it and look for the right opportunity and the right timing to get things done and make sure everyone's needs are met along the way.
And I imagine a system like this that has a big citizen footprint would also get Congress's attention from time to time.
Absolutely. They look for what means to get people through the inspection process faster, but also more securely. So you have a lot of different constituents and concerns that you want to make sure you address them all. But, you know, in our world, you know, good facilitation is good security, and good security is good facilitation. So these programs help us do both of that. So we try to keep all of our constituents happy with them.
We're speaking with John Wagner. He's Deputy Assistant Commissioner in the Office of Field Operations at Customs and Border Protection. And working with all of these stakeholders and also your contractors, how did you manage to keep the requirements under control? Because often when there's this many people involved and probably more than one contractor, sometimes the requirements can start to get out of control and therefore the project gets out of control.
Well, we identify them up front, a very basic model of what we're going to do, and then we add to it over time to build the program to the design that we need to. But we stay on top of those requirements, and we make sure they're meaningful requirements and specific enough that we can accomplish them. And then periodically we review them to make sure that, are there things we can add? Can we make this program better? Can we make it more secure? So we do change things over time to make it better, and we, you know, we've got some future plans on how to do that as well. But you just have to stay really on top of it and identify those needs and make sure you're making progress towards those.
And what are some of the enhancements you'd like to see down the line?
So we're looking at, in the case of automated passport control, we have a mobile version that we've launched at 4 different airports, and we've got some more airports to come. But instead of using a kiosk, you can use your phone with an app that you download to transmit data to CBP upon arrival, and it works the same function as if you stopped at a kiosk to do the same process, kind of like checking in with the airline, where you could do it on your phone or you could do it at a kiosk at the airport. We've got some other biometrics we're considering, and then just some other ways to be able to do these same type of processes, but with different technology.
And so when you have the app going, does that mean you would have to beef up the wireless infrastructure in that zone that it's all operating in?
Correct. Does it have to be a signal for your phone, either through the cellular or through Wi-Fi in the airport?
What inspired you to pursue this particular thing as something you've been really on for so long?
Well, we saw the need to, you know, move people quicker and more securely through the international arrivals process. There's a growing number of travelers each year, which is great news for our economy. CBP wants to be on the right side of supporting that, but supporting that in a way that it's also secure and that it's efficient, and that we're able to attract more visitors to the United States, more workers to the United States, but also have a welcoming environment for our citizens and residents to return home to and to keep everybody safe while we're doing that.
And have there been instances where someone is checking in through that system, or checking out, I should say, and some bad people might have been flagged that thought they were getting away with it?
Sure. We've caught people attempting to misuse these systems. What's great about these systems is they free up our resources from administrative or somewhat unproductive work to focus on, you know, what is important for us and allow us to dedicate those resources to where we need them to be. So it allows us really to do more productive work. And yes, we've caught people misusing the systems from time to time as well.
All right. So you are a SAMMY's finalist, a Service to America Medals finalist this year. What was your reaction when you heard about that?
Well, it was great. It was very welcome news. It's awfully humbling to look across government and see some of the great accomplishments government employees have done with my fellow finalists this year, but also the past award winners, to be held in such high regard for that work. It's gratifying, but it's also very humbling at the same time.
And you're a long-term CBP employee. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your history with the agency.
Sure. I've been on for 23-plus years. Started in the U.S. Customs Service in New York City. Worked down on the Mexican border in Laredo, Texas for a number of years, and been here at headquarters through September 11th, through the formation of Homeland Security and Customs and Border Protection, when we merged Customs, Immigration, and a part of the USDA into the agency we are today. So have a lot of good, varied experience in our organization and the work that we do, and really seen the mission grow over the years in response to a lot of national security concerns around the globe.
And where were you posted when 9/11 occurred?
Here in Washington at our headquarters.
That must have been quite a day, no matter where you were, working for what would become Homeland Security.
Yes, absolutely. It was, you know, quite a day that still lives very vividly in a lot of our memories. I started my career with Customs at 6 World Trade Center, where we had the Custom House. So, you know, a lot of friends and colleagues still in that building that day. And, you know, growing up in New York, too, you know, there will always be that vivid memories of that day.